Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
The ESPYs have always celebrated hope, service, and perseverance. This year, more than ever, we want you to celebrate with us, and we want to celebrate athletic achievement right here at home. ESPN 97.5 is honoring a local athlete whose senior season was cut short due to the COVID-19 health crisis. Tweet at ESPN 97.5 with the hashtag HoustonESPY before June 9th to nominate and say why that senior high school or college athlete is deserving of the Houston Honorary ESPY. We'll share our 5 final nominees and announce our Houston Honorary ESPY winner on Tuesday, June 9th during the Blitz. Join us in celebrating local senior high school and college athletes. Hashtag HoustonESPY to ESPN 97.5 with your nominee. Now back to John and Lance.
All right, Darren Woodson's at 9:30, not 9.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 9:30. So we will get him in. If anybody wants to get in right now, 7-3-7-8-0-3-7-6.
He's getting 3-7-7-6.
Darren Woodson's got a new podcast. We're going to talk to him about some of that. One of them, he said, you ever wonder what it's really like to negotiate a multi-million-dollar contract against Jerry Jones? Listen to the latest episode of the Darren Woodson Show. And he talks about that. He's got another one. Bob Lee, ESPN, told me the 4 words that would forever change my life. Don't F this up. This episode of the Darren Woodson Show with my great friend Jay Harris, ESPN is can't miss. That's what Jay Harris said. Bob Lee told him. Jay Harris, of course, is a sportscaster at ESPN. I think Jay's still, he's still at ESPN.
Yeah, Jay's still there.
And so Darren's got access as a former player to a lot of different collection of different types of people. So it should be really, really interesting. My podcast with Chris Ballard, we recorded with Ballard before he made all of his comments, so we're just going to splice in audio of his comments about the racial inequality and things like that. We'll splice in because it sucks that we already had it recorded and then everything broke and we didn't have him comment. It felt a little disingenuous, so we had something in there. But his background and his thoughts on a lot of stuff in football, and especially his background, is really, really interesting if you want to give it a listen. It hasn't dropped yet. It'll drop sometime tomorrow on Off Script. And I do want to promote our friend Raheel Ramzanali. His podcast is really, really good. If you're not following him, make sure you follow him. Which account, Raheel's? Is it the fan account?
Where is that is?
Yeah, if you are looking to see all things Raheel, that don't simply feature his daughter at the beach, go to Raheel Doing Things. You see Raheel out and about, Raheel with stars, Raheel Doing Things, fan account.
It's a fan account.
But yeah, some weirdo decided they want to spend their time following Raheel around. So
Raheel Doing Things.
Yeah, Raheel Doing Things. That weirdo follows Raheel around and takes pictures.
It is a weirdo.
Yeah, weird.
That is weird. We haven't talked about baseball yet. And what good decision makers are they are and stuff. First of all, I heard one baseball guy say how idiotic it is that they're only going to have 5 rounds of a draft.
Who said that?
The guy that I saw come out
against it. That's what I was wondering. Is your boy Scott Boris? Scott Boris is furious with it. Oh, a real baseball guy?
I forget. It was
not an agent?
Yeah, not an agent. No, it was a baseball writer.
Because Boris came out and said
it was Buster Olney, I think. Why are they doing? I'm pretty sure it was Olney.
Well, Boris, why would you have a draft if you don't have a minor league system?
Well, because you... Well, here's the thing, though.
Who's paying guys you draft right now if you don't have a minor league system?
Are you going to get back to... This is a 1 year hiatus from the minor leagues, right?
Is it you think that it could change?
It's a possibility it could change. Just like basketball could change drastically as far as their season goes, and with this pandemic,
I think they may go leaner in minor league baseball.
They may go a lot leaner in minor league baseball. And there's some other things in the works that we'll hopefully be able to talk about tomorrow that are going on. But and I don't understand. And there's a possibility, hopefully it would happen, that the Skeeter's ballpark is being used by the Astros. Well, you just drive up from there. Just drive up to the ballpark. Oh, you need a guy tonight? Here's a guy tonight. And he comes up for you, as opposed to from wherever. I guess Corpus is going to be there, where they're going to have, if they do play, they will have about 20 guys over there working out, and that'll be their feeder for the big leagues if they need any players. But no, there's a real possibility that it lessens. But will a 5-round draft curtail young Americans from playing baseball now?
That's what Scott Boras said. Like, you might as well have put up a big giant billboard that said go play other sports. And I'm thinking, what are you talking about, Scott
Boras? Well, if there's less jobs, if there's less opportunity.
Anyone is thinking that far ahead, like the major league draft.
Well, there's only 7 rounds in the NFL draft.
First, and everyone thinks they're getting drafted.
Yeah.
Every player thinks that they are drafted. Yeah. They're getting drafted. So why would people in Major League Baseball not think the same?
Yeah.
Plus, you actually do have other leagues. Like, you can go play in Japan.
Well, and not only that, if you are drafted in one of the 5 rounds, man, you must be really, really, really good.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And you've got a real good shot at getting to the major leagues. Yeah, I don't think that your chances, if you're a good baseball player in Little League and you're a good baseball player in high school, you still have a very good chance. What is going to be interesting is how many kids are going to be going to college to play baseball now. That was a question because, you know, first of all, are we playing baseball in college? Probably next year.
Yeah.
But you missed this whole
baseball
year.
Baseball is a sport, though, that lends itself to be able to play in the midst of – there is spacing.
Yes, yes.
Natural spacing. And things
and you like don't that. And it's not like there's big crowds anyway except at LSU. There's really not. I mean, you know,
SEC college baseball has some, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's LSU's 10,000 a game, and the next is best is 5,000 a game.
I know that everyone has to go to the worst case scenario that they're not going to have a vaccine. But scientists are saying they feel fairly likely there will be a vaccine, and the reason is because it is not mutating. COVID-19 is not showing signs of mutating. So mutations are the concern, but if you have a vaccine, I think that will be a game changer. And listen, I also think one of the things that protests are doing is allowing people to reimagine. Now, we'll see what happens. If there's a monster spike and monster total of deaths that comes from the protests, then people may see it something. But I think the protests and the amount of people in the streets and the proximity right on top of each other, right? I think it's going to allow people to maybe reimagine their willingness to take more chances with masks on in public.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, 6 feet may not be as much of a concern anymore if you have a mask on or whatever the case may be. There are the face shields that are being sold on TV. I saw commercials for them. I just think that people are going to say, look, if I'm willing to go out and be amongst 10,000 people, 20, 60,000 people. If you're willing to do that with people who don't have masks, I'm guessing that and even though it's an open air, you're also in very, very tight quarters in some cases. Because I was out at the march, I saw what it looked like in tight quarters. I don't know that people are going to be so afraid of going to restaurants, or people who previously were, they may really change their opinion, which may help, you know, create a faster recovery if people are more willing to do it. If more states are willing to open up to 50% or more for sports and more people are willing to go, because you can be open to it. You have to have people willing to go. I don't think they're going to have any. I'm to the point now where I don't think they're going to have any issue filling up 50,000 people in any stands.
Yeah. It was funny only this morning on Golic and Wingo, and I was probably the perfect analogy. It was like two second cousins screaming at each other in the back of a funeral for their uncle. And everybody's turning around going, dude, how inappropriate is this? Guys, what are you doing? And that's exactly what, you know, the Cubs owner came out and, well, this is everybody, but people have lost their livelihoods. People have lost business all over this, 40 million unemployed. And we're worried about your Tom Ricketts. You know, he's going to lose some money. This billionaire is going to lose some money. Stop. And stop with the publicity of this is our offer and this is their offer and this is, and stop with the Blake Snells and stop, really, because baseball is maybe going to a place where they can't come back from.
Well, baseball's got to just shut up and do everything behind the scenes.
But they're not. But they
it
won't.
Is still but it is still business. Like, there is still.
That's fine, but business. Don't do it. What Frank Thomas said was, and I know that Lance McCullers was, oh, you guys, you got your money and all that stuff. Do it behind the scenes, guys. Do it behind the scenes. We don't want, no one now in these times wants to hear about how much money you're going to lose.
Okay, but is McCullers wrong in saying that, why is A-Rod and why are these
Frank,
guys commenting?
No, he mentioned Frank Thomas. And all Frank Thomas said was, guys, do it behind the scenes.
Well, but he also said, look, why are you guys talking? Because he mentioned specifically Tom Glavine's the one that really upset him. Why are you mentioning he and A-Rod? Like, why are y'all, you guys are sitting in your, with your $200 million in the bank in Hilton Head telling us, guys, you need a player. It's going to be your fault. He goes, they don't need to be commenting on this. That was his big problem, is that they were commenting players need to do.
And I think in a quote, he mentioned Frank Thomas too. And all Frank Thomas says was, we need to do it behind the scenes. And he's absolutely right.
Yeah, that's fine.
Couldn't be more right.
But the other guys have been saying, it's going to be on you.
Right.
The perception is it's going to be on
you. Well, I don't know that I agree with that even.
I think it's going to be
on the owners.
But he thinks they need to sit it out. And I'm not necessarily, I don't disagree with him necessarily. Why is Tom Glavine?
Baseball lifers, though. And you know what? They don't want these guys to hurt the game.
Hurt the game? You mean when baseball pitchers wouldn't step up and force and be more aggressive in terms of trying to force drug testing? That would, because the Players Association was so weak, they just sat there and stewed behind the scenes. Pitchers,
or
did.
When they lost the World Series in 90, and all those guys were in baseball in 94 when there was no World Series.
Absolutely, it feels a little disingenuous. Well, was A-Rod there in 94?
He was with the Yankees in 99. Yeah, he was there in 94. No, he was there in 2009 with the Yankees.
Yeah,
because A-Rod wasn't.
I'm not sure because 96.
No, but Glavine and Frank Thomas were.
Yes, 100%.
Right. 913 ESPN 97.
To answer your question, he debuted right before the strike, July 8th, 1994.
He didn't have any say. He was a
rookie. He was a rookie.
He was a rookie. He had no say. 913 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. You know what everybody needs right now, Lance?
Testosterone. Men's T Clinic says, come get your red hot testosterone. But it's not red hot, it's just regular. Testosterone does make a huge difference in terms of your overall well-being. And I mean in a lot of different ways. It helps from a mental standpoint. It helps from a quality of life standpoint with your lean muscle mass. You don't have the diminished lean muscle mass like you do when your testosterone level drops. It increases lean muscle mass. So even if your numbers have dropped and you have belly flab where you didn't previously have it, well, Men's T Clinic, those testosterone numbers can help you get some of that lean muscle back. You can start to find that your weight loss really improves, especially if you start to exercise with it as well. Your workouts mean more. Your workouts, you have the energy level to not only get through your day, but also get workouts in. And, of course, libido can be a big advantage as well when you are taking testosterone. The first thing you have to do is find out where your numbers are. And once you find out if you're below the normal level, you can go to my friends. You go to get tested at Men's T Clinic, and then they can custom tailor a program that's right for you and for your body and for your needs. Men'sTClinic.com made a big difference for me. They can make a big difference for you. They've done it for thousands here in the Houston area. 5 locations, Men'sTClinic.com.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. Oh, look at this. 8,000 fans will be promoted into the Memorial Tournament in July. At Jack's Course. How's that? In Dublin, Ohio. 8,000 fans. Oh, baseball. See that? Maybe you could get some fans in the stands. Oh, that's right. You're too busy fighting each other for over money. But golf, the great sport. Starts this week with the Charles Schwab. Who you guys like in the Charles Schwab this week? You don't have to be a long... Just so you guys know, you don't have to be a long hitter. Kevin Na won it last year.
I kind of like Na again. No. Or Rocco Baldelli.
He's a baseball manager.
Rocco Mediate.
Yeah, he's old.
Who's the other Italian that was doing things last year?
Oh, yeah. Francesco Molinari.
Hey! I like Molinari.
That was like 2 years ago.
I like Molinari.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You like Francesco Molinari? I don't think he's going to be here.
What about Justin Leonard? Is he supposed to win?
Nope. Justin Thomas, you could catch up. It's Justin Thomas now. That's the Justin.
Georgia Tech quarterback turn.
Nope.
Wide receiver?
Nope, not him.
Oh.
No. Nope.
He's golfing now.
This is a different guy altogether.
Actually,
Alabama.
Cornerback.
Alabama played against Jordan Spieth in the national championship. Texas versus Alabama.
Molinari. I'm still going Molinari. I don't care. Molinari's my guy.
He's not there.
Molinari's not playing?
Well, he doesn't live here.
Oh, wait. Yeah, there's not a lot of international travel right now.
What's that going on?
What am I thinking? Hey, can you guys from Italy come on in?
Yeah, no.
Right now, even Italy's like, I ain't going to America.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
I'm staying here where it's safe.
I'm staying here safe in Italy.
Yeah. So, Dell, who you got? He doesn't have to be a long hitter.
Is Mike Weir still playing golf?
Mike Weir does not play golf anymore.
It's unfortunate. I love that Canadian fella.
Bill Harmon got a player's exemption and is playing really well, according to his dad, Jay Haas. He is playing as well as ever.
What, his dad is Jay Haas?
How's he Bill Harmon and Jay Haas?
I'm sorry, did I say Bill Harmon? Yeah. Bill Haas, I meant.
Oh, Bill Haas.
Bill Haas. Bill Harmon was talking about that this week on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour.
Hmm.
Yeah.
How did I miss that?
Bill Haas was named after Bill Harmon.
So the Haas and Harmon family are close?
Real close.
Okay.
Well, Billy Harmon caddy for Jay for years and years.
I will go with Tony Finau playing.
Tony Finau is playing.
I'll just go with
Tony Finau has played really well here. If you look at his stats, he had a runner-up finish not long ago.
Can I tell you something? I'm never going to do that.
You're not going to go look at the stats?
I'm never going to look up golf stats.
Why can't we talk about
golf? We are talking about golf.
The only major sport that is playing.
It's not a major sport.
Yes, it is a major sport.
Apologize to all the other major sports.
Yes. Yes. Jeez, Lance, stick to rap and QBs from Wright State. You too, Dell, if that's from Crash.
He asked me. He's asking us. I didn't volunteer to talk about golf Crash.
Yeah.
Is his name really Crash, or did he change it? Because he's a weatherman.
He's not a weatherman.
Okay.
He's upset that I've got Molinari?
Yeah.
Award-winning.
No, you, Justin Thomas, the quarterback from Georgia Tech. No.
Oh, yeah, that was an easy one for me.
Okay.
I'm taking Tony Finau. I took a guy who's in the tournament. Crash.
Yeah, you actually did. And a guy who plays well there.
Oh, we're not picking the guys that you
want
us to pick.
He's long, but you don't have to be.
No, sorry, I'm not picking your favorites, Crash.
Well,
of course,
I have a guy who's international who can't make it over.
Well, because you're not a golf guy like me.
Yeah, you don't
know. I picked an American.
I said Kevin Na was my first choice. I'm going Ricky Fowler. What's the problem?
Ricky Fowler never wins.
So I'm still going with him.
No, Ricky doesn't win.
Yeah, he never wins.
He doesn't win.
No, his belt game's on point.
He's the Anna Kournikova.
He kind of is. He kind of is. I mean, very popular.
Thank you. Who's the golf guy and who is it?
You. Right? You know it all. Man, we are... Lee Trevino going to win that bitch. All right. All right. Lee Trevino. Lee Trevino is not going to win that bitch. Okay? So, and we don't say that anyway.
Not in golf, you don't.
Yep. Yeah, here's the headline. MLBPA says owners are depriving America of baseball. Okay. All right, we'll come back with a counteroffer, guys. And we got to know everything about it, too. Stop.
Stop. This, why is baseball playing politics? I don't care. Stop. I don't care about your approval ratings. I don't care that independent voters might like you more in MLBPA. I don't care. Either do it or don't. Stop talking about it.
Yeah.
Baseball's the worst. It literally is the worst. Look, baseball has eclipsed golf as my most hated.
Well, no, but baseball has always, it's been quiet, but labor strife, we it's grew up with labor this. Strife just like. Labor strife is just what baseball was for starting when I was young until, you know, until I basically started doing sports talk
before
radio
you were
where
born,
we haven't had issues.
Yeah, before you were born.
But we haven't had issues over the last, not serious issues.
They've been better since Donald Fair went away.
Yeah, since Donald Fair went away. But right now, I understand that it's harder than normal because it's a fluid situation with people in the stands. You don't know what it's going to look like now versus later. They have an uncapped sport. So, relatively speaking, an uncapped sport. So, there's not going to be, you can't really do, they don't want to do a percentage of revenue because that gets them into cap potential issues. I mean, the smart thing would be, revenue, the one that makes the most sense from an outsider standpoint would be doing revenue for this year and this year alone, because then it takes into account if people start coming into the stands. But owners are notorious for not opening their books all the way and not allowing a forensic accounting of what money they actually make. So if they're not going to do that, the players are not going to trust them.
No, they wouldn't trust them. No. Michael Jordan's donated $100 million.
Yeah, we haven't talked enough about that. I get that he makes a lot of money and all that stuff. Dude, when's the last time you guys remember anyone donating $100 million to anything?
Well, Bill Gates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you're talking about guys like Bill Gates.
Right.
Jordan is on that level now.
Right. Well, when you start, your money starts with a B, $100 million is still a lot. He's going to donate over 10 years, $10 million a year over 10 years.
I'm not looking to take a shot. I'm really not. I just want a clarification. Is it the brand owned by Nike doing
it's both.
Or is it okay?
It's both.
Okay, it's a combination. Okay.
Yeah. But even still, that hits him.
Yeah, I'm not certainly.
Both of them hit him.
Well, it doesn't matter how hard it hits him. What matters is how much can be done with that.
Right.
If it's well managed, which rarely is anything handled managed.
Who's it directed to? Yeah. Who knows?
Dak gave $1 million to some kind of police training or something of the sort, which is nice. But $100 million is $100 million, man.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
Shout out to Mike and Jordan Brand and I guess
you
Nike
know, and
overall.
Mike has always been obviously criticized, wasn't he? He's always been criticized.
Yeah,
you know, white people buy sneakers too, or Republicans buy sneakers too. It was white people.
He said white people, not Republicans?
No, said Republicans. Oh. But he meant white people.
Yeah, well, that's certainly the case. He's that's been more of a thing for, I guess, the black community's had taken issue with Mike for that. And you can't fault him for this. There's nothing you can say, but you can, even Mike is like, enough. Because even he had comments over the weekend about we've been beaten down for far too long. Even Mike's done.
But it's standing
to the side.
It's an easier out now. It's an easy thing to back. I'm glad that Michael did it. When Michael was playing, it would have been much more controversial. Now, it's a lot easier for Michael Jordan to come out. When Muhammad Ali did it, dude. And really, to an extent, I think Colin Kaepernick, too. That was not popular at all. I remember doing a show with Mark Carrier, the former DB. I was doing a show for TuneIn Radio. And when all that broke, we were doing it, and the Colin Kaepernick stuff broke. And Mark Carrier, African-American, former coach, former player, he was not in favor of that at all, of not standing for the flag. He was very anti. Matter of fact, there was a lot of people that came out. Now it's obviously a much
well,
easier.
Well, now, God forbid, you saw what happened easier. To Drew Brees saying anything about it. Yeah, even if you still feel that way, you're not going to say anything about it.
Yeah, and Jordan's made his money. But the main thing is he is he's looking to do things that matter now.
Hey, I want to talk about a new sponsor right now. I've been taking the CBD from American Shaman. And, you know, a shaman is the healer of the tribe. And, boy, I'm going to tell you something. It is, for me, anyway, I've been taking it for about a week now, and it really has made a difference. I have inflammation in my back and in my shoulder that has really, I haven't had any since I've started taking this. And it just seems like I'm calmer. It really does help with anxiety. And if you've got anxiety issues, joint pain, muscle pain, migraines, all of these things, it really helped me. Quality of sleep, sleeping naturally, a calmness, a relaxation. All of these things are really true about this for me anyway. And if you have any of these issues, if you have inflammation, if you have rheumatic, any kind of issues with rheumatoid or whatever it's called, rheumatism. Rheumatoid arthritis. And right now at the CBD American Shaman store, you can get a free can of CBD water while supplies last. This is this week only. It's the best of nature enhanced by science. And I'll get into that later, how it's just different. But CBD American Shaman is just different. ShopCBDTX.com. ShopCBDTX.com. Go online, see for yourself, see what they've got. They've got stuff not only for you, but for your animals, your pets as well. From Katy to Beaumont, Conroe to Galveston, and all points in between. ShopCBDTX.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, Darren Woodson is going to join us here in a minute. We'll talk to him. The Darren Woodson Show.
That's his podcast, yeah.
The Darren Woodson Show.
Yep.
At Darren Woodson 28.
Yep.
At Darren Woodson 28 on Twitter. Darren Woodson, a three-time Super Bowl champ with the Cowboys. Why are you lowering that again? What is? No, it's not hot in here. What are you doing? No, it's 10 seconds. It's flipping cold in here. Okay. Oh my gosh, five-time Pro Bowler, four-time. Now this is more important. Four-time first-team All-Pro, Cowboys Ring of Honor. Just a great, great, great player. Wasn't he first team all 90s?
Do you think Darren Woodson is joining the show because he saw Lance in his hat on Twitter and was like, "That's a cowboy guy. I gotta be on that guy's show."
Yeah, probably.
I didn't wear a cowboy hat.
Yes, you did. It didn't fit you properly, yeah, you but you did.
That's a Photoshop. You guys keep falling
that's
for
a
that.
No,
a cowboy hat that's Photoshop.
No.
You guys
no.
keep falling for that same banana in the tailpipe.
Landa Steve or whoever has it. Tweet the show with that hat. We all know it's real. We've seen it.
Photoshop.
No, I'm pretty sure.
No one would Photoshop it to look that ill-fitting.
It is.
No.
It is a
That was a
hat.
Poor, poor job by whomever it was.
Boy, if I had it to do all over again. Poor decision.
Just pick anyone. It didn't have to be the Cowboys.
Anybody.
I thought they had a good day two draft. It was just a poor decision.
And you had to wear a hat that way? And you had that look on your face?
They were fitted hats. And I'm like, here's the cowboy hat. And I'm like, oh, no.
You should.
Cowboy beanie. And I don't even have a monster head.
It was
that
so
cowboy
bad.
Hat was like a 6¾. Like, who has a head like this?
Snapbacks.
Who has peanut head?
Adjusted hats. That's the simple solution.
They didn't, but that it wasn't New Era, I don't think. I can't remember who the... Was it New Era? It might have been New Era, but they were fitted hats. It probably was New Era. I'm sure they've had a deal with the league for that long. I think it was New Era, and it was a special, you know, brand. We were doing some brand integration. Mm-hmm. Where you say, okay, let's you guys pick the hat of the team. And I'm like, God, I hate doing this, but I think the Cowboys had a good draft. Give me the Cowboy hat.
You know what
a tiny hat.
You know what it looked like? Your facial expression was like when a dog gets caught doing something and it knows it did it wrong. And the owner's like, bad dog. He had that face.
It wasn't Darren Woodson. It was Rod Woodson that made the first team defense in the 90s.
It was Rod. Yeah.
Rod, yeah. Leroy Butler and Steve Atwater were the safeties. When Darren Woodson, I don't know, I'd take Darren Woodson over Leroy Butler.
Dude, Darren Woodson had a great career.
Great career.
23 interceptions.
Four-time first team All-Pro.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's that right there.
He's a big dude, too. You know, corners, you forget how big safety. He was 6'1", 219 coming into the league. That's a big, you don't see safeties that big hardly at all anymore. Now, because everything is, you got to be able to cover as well as a safety. So a lot of these safeties now are, some of them are in the 190s, 198, 205. Look at Tyrann Mathieu, teeny tiny for a safety. And they played him at safety. But Woodson was, man, Woodson had a great workout. I'm sitting here looking at his workout numbers. I'm like, dang, Woodson had a hell of a. So Dallas Cowboys defensive backs coach Dave Campo spotted a linebacker who looked like a safety in waiting and had him work out in DB drills. He was a former linebacker.
Yeah.
You rarely go backwards. You usually go forwards, meaning safeties become linebackers.
Yeah, but didn't Cam Chancellor, too? I mean, isn't that? He was a bit.
Was he a linebacker who went to safety? You just don't see guys go backwards from level two to level three. That's very rare. As a matter of fact, it just doesn't happen. That's why it was a big deal for, like, Hassan Reddick. I was talking to Steve Keim about this, about Hassan. We were talking about Steve Keim's a GM for the Arizona Cardinals. Mm-hmm. And our conversation at that time was about Isaiah Simmons. And this is before they ever drafted him. And we were talking about Isaiah Simmons moving from, safety up to linebacker. And he said, and I said, but are you worried at all if you're looking at him? And it turns out they were because they drafted him. About it being like a Hassan Reddick, who Hassan Reddick went from outside linebacker / really defensive end to linebacker. He went from pass rusher to linebacker, and he's like, Lance, it's way harder to go backwards than it is to go forwards. He said, you can go forwards from linebacker to safety to linebacker or linebacker to rush end, but going backwards from D-line to linebacker or going from linebacker to safety, he goes, man, that's way harder because you got to change your athletic. You know, you're being asked to be faster and more athletic, and that's not easy. And you don't see it happen a whole lot. I'll find out what's going on with Woodson, unless Woodson thought it was 9:30 Eastern. In that case, he'd still be on next hour. So we'll figure out what's going on.
No, if it was 9:30 Eastern, he would have been on last hour.
Yeah, he would have called already.
Maybe he's mountain time. Maybe he's in the mountains.
Or maybe he's just a freaking cowboy. What can you expect?
Maybe, yeah. He can't.
I said it, and here he is.
Here he is. There's Darren Woodson joining us right here.
Say his name, and he appears.
And Darren Woodson appears right here on ESPN 90.
Just answer it, Dill.
The intern. I'll tell you.
Why didn't you answer it?
An intern.
Who wore it better? Okay. Dell with his LBGT hat, me with my Astros, or you with your cowboy?
Dell. Let's bring on Darren Woodson right now. The former All-Pro safety and the man who hosts the Darren Woodson Show. It's a podcast right now that you can find on Apple. And he joins the show right now. We got a lot to talk about now, Darren. So lock in. Won't be as long as a podcast because radio doesn't have those same. Radio has different constraints. But we welcome you to the show. How are you doing today?
What's going on?
Not much. So your guy, Russ Spielman, also represents me. And he told me about what you were doing, and I'm going to go dig in on some of the podcasts. I was out of town this week, but you've got some really interesting topics that you can speak specifically to. Like one of them is what's it like to negotiate against Jerry Jones, the owner of the Cowboys. And I think, that's one of them. You got what's it like when you were cut? What's it like? And you've had Matt Forte on, and you have some interesting guests on who can speak to things that the fans may have always wondered about, and now they get actual insight into it.
Yeah, it's crazy, too, that, the podcast is myself, a guy named Tyler Klutz that played in the league in the NFL for 7 years, bounced around, played with the Cowboys to finish his career for the last 2 years. And then we have a young man named Ben Gibbs, who was a tremendous athlete at Abilene Christian and didn't make it to the next level. It tore his knee up and didn't make it. So we all come from different perspectives. You know, my perspective was I got drafted early, played 13 years, was never on the cutting board, never was never cut, never thought I was going to get cut. My career ended due to injury. Tyler Klutz played and was cut at least 7 or 8 times. So we're coming from different experiences as it pertains to sports. But the show is centered around interesting stories. We don't want to just focus primarily on sports. We're tackling every vertical, whether it's CEO, a doctor, an attorney. It doesn't matter who it is or what profession it is. We just want the interesting stories. You know, a couple of weeks ago we had Rich Froning on, the CrossFit champ, and he talked about, you know, his childhood and what made him, you know, such a competitive guy, and you know, going and getting into these dark places where the body stopped, and he, you know, figured out a way to overcome the mind. And you know, those are the stories that people want to hear. And you know, peeling back the onion is part of what makes this show, or the Darren Woodson Show, special.
Darren Woodson with us here on ESPN 97.5. Well, give us a little taste of it. What was it like negotiating with Jerry Jones and getting money out of him?
Tough. Really tough. You know, there's a reason why he's the best businessman in as far as the NFL is concerned. He's a great owner, but he's hard. He's a tough negotiator when it comes contract talks. And there's a reason why, because he plays the good cop, and his son Steven plays the bad cop. And it's hard in the sense of if you're sensitive and you can't handle tough talk, then it's going to be hard to deal with the Jones' family. You have to take the sensitivity out of the situation and look at it as a business situation and have your agent be the one who's up in front. You stay back, Dak Prescott, stay back, just play the game. Just play football and don't worry about the negotiation, because once you get involved and you're sensitive about it, then that's when it really affects you. But you know, they do a good job of playing good cop, bad cop. And again, you know, Jerry being the best owner ever in sports is going to let you know the reason why he's a great businessman.
How involved now is Steven Jones? Because it feels like he's really involved. And I tell you, the turning point for me when I realized somebody like Steven must have more sway, and I think I heard this, was in the 2014 draft where everyone thought, oh, Manziel is going to be this is a Jerry Jones splash pick. And then they went Zach Martin, the smart, sensible pick on the offensive line. And I thought, hold on a second. This isn't the Jerry Jones pick. I thought for sure Jerry was going Manziel.
Yeah. I think Steven has always had some sway. I can remember in 95 when Deion Sanders, when the Cowboys were interested in Deion Sanders. And, of course, the salary cap pretty new. And Steven's job was to manage the salary cap. And Jerry was pushing to sign Deion and offer him a ton of money. And Steven and Jerry got into a physical fight. And the fact that Steven said, look, you're going to kill this team as far as the salary cap is concerned. And they got into it. And that's when I remember saying, okay, he's got more pull and he's willing to stand up to his father. And if that's the case, you know that there's going to be a change at some point where Steven's going to have a lot more pull. And he does. And it's not just Steven. It's Will McClay, who's the acting, doesn't have the title. But Will McClay is the acting GM and head of the scouting department. And he and Steven are close. They talk every single day. And as it pertains to personnel, you know, that's where the decisions are basically made, and then Jerry makes the final rubber stamp decision. But those two, Will McClay and Steven Jones, are highly involved in the decision-making with the Cowboys.
Darren Woodson and the Cowboys, Ring of Honor, here with us on ESPN 97.5. You mentioned Dak stay out of the negotiations. Michael Irvin has been very outspoken about pay that man his money. What do you think?
I agree. I agree, and I think that, you know, listen, it's obvious that they're going to pay Dak Prescott at some point. I mean, this guy has been tremendous in the locker room. Since the day he stepped in and got drafted by the Mississippi State, he came in, Tony Romo gets hurt, and every offensive lineman, and that's the key. Once you know the offensive linemen are going to rally behind you as a rookie, that means you have the locker room. And you have their respect. And as a rookie, they instantly said he was the leader. And I can tell you this. My office is headquartered at the Cowboys headquarters here in Frisco, Texas. And my real estate office overlooks the practice field. And every single day, over the last 2.5 years, I can look out my window. And this year being a little different with COVID because they haven't been able to come in and train. But over the time, you can see Dak Prescott walk outside, and he's throwing balls to the fourth, fifth string wide receiver, some of the special teams guys he's working with. He's the first one out on the field, and he's a guy that's going to go 4 or 5 hours, put that kind of work into it. And it reminds me a lot of what Michael Irvin brought to the table when he was a player. And that's the reason why you see the mutual respect, because you see a kid that's putting in tremendous work. And when you have a guy like Dak Prescott or Zeke Elliott, your superstars are putting in the work. It only trickles downhill, similar to what Tom Brady, I'm not comparing the two, but I'm comparing the work ethic like Tom Brady has and the respect that he demands within the locker room because of how much work he puts in.
You know, one of the things I think is interesting in talking to an agent who said, look, if you were an agent for a quarterback, you know, if you're a quarterback agent, because a lot of agents specialize, he said, they're loving the NFL right now. He said, but for those of us who have kind of middle class players, he said, this is a really tough time to see the quarterback. He said, you know, the quarterback salaries, because it's not like it's resetting the entire market. It's resetting that position. And that means it's going to come out of the pockets of other players. And I really wonder if we're going to see that in the NFL, where there becomes maybe some blowback behind the scenes through the players' union, where they're talking about the fact that, hey, it's getting a lot harder for those of us who have 7 years in the league and we play a position like middle linebacker. I don't know, because in basketball it didn't happen. In basketball, the middle class just kind of disappeared. And in baseball, the same thing. It looks like maybe we'll see the same thing happen in football. I don't know.
Yeah, listen, hey, I think the one thing you will understand about the locker room is that they are capitalists, all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And every one of them, I can tell you this, yeah, the agents may be upset and some of the players might be upset and jealous by the fact that the quarterbacks are making their money. But when it comes time for them, their contract to come up, you better believe it's about them. And we become individuals as far as getting your deal done. If I'm a player or within the Players Association, we can't worry about that, man. That's like one of the least things that we can worry about as far as a quarterback and separating yourself to say, well, you know, the quarterback's going to make all this money and now it's going to affect me. Hey, get your damn job done. You figure it out. You become the highest paid middle linebacker. You work your butt off to get there. And I know it's not fair. Life is not fair. And in business, hell, I own two companies. Business is not fair. It's just a part of it. That's why we live in this capitalist society. That's why we go out and do what we can do to improve our situation. So, but we can't worry about what the quarterbacks are doing. And I'll be damned about the agents raising Cain about that, man. That pissed me off.
Darren Woods with us here on ESPN 97.5. Darren, we saw Marvin Wilson from Florida State. We see the Iowa players, the Utah players now stepping up. We've never seen players empowered like this before and having a voice like they have. How is this going to go in college and pro football?
Look, I don't know, honestly, guys. And you're talking about the demonstration? I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, or just saying, hey, I'm calling this coach out. Back in 2013, he said this, or, you know what, I felt uncomfortable in the weight room with the strength coach from Iowa, or whatever it is. Marvin Wilson said, you didn't say that, coach. You never, you're lying. You never talked to every individual player at Florida State. And guys are actually stepping up and calling out coaches now.
Yeah, and that's, you know, and that's never, that's unheard of. And with social media, you know, these players, current and former players, and it's normally the former players who talk about their experiences after the fact. And that's not a shot at them, but it's, you know, they have a platform. And because of that, which is unheard of, I remember playing in my days from 92 to 2004, 2005, we didn't have a voice. We didn't have Twitter. We didn't have Instagram or platform. Now it's just a part of it. And you're going to hear these type of things spur over the next, and especially when it's such a hot topic situation right now. And they want to relive, you know, some of the things that have happened in the past, or a coach may have said something, and then you have someone that retracts that. It's going to happen. It's a part of it. And it makes that job, I can honestly tell you this, it makes the coaching job that much harder. The head coaching job, assistant coaching job, because now what you have to do is, not only are you the coach, especially in college, not only are you the coach, but you have to look over all these kids within college, 18-year-olds to 22-year-old kids, and oversee them, and then try to be at your best on and off the field and make them all comfortable. And that's going to be a trying job for any coach. And I think it speaks volumes to those coaches, those people that want to be coaches coming up, because there's a lot of flack that's going to be coming their way because of the voice and the platform for these young players.
Darren Woodson joins us right now. We're talking a little bit about the issues in the NFL, but also his podcast. And if you want to find it, Darren Woodson Show, you can find it on iTunes. I would imagine you're going to be on a lot of different, whatever platform that people are seeking out, you know, podcasts. I would imagine you're there right now.
Yes. Yeah. We're on all social media platforms, YouTube, iTunes.
Oh, you're doing a YouTube as well?
Yes. Yeah. We're doing some YouTube. We're young in this.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you this, we're three dudes and we're idiots. We are, man. And that's the show. I mean, it's just, we sit around and we call a round table and we talk about hot topics.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
That's what people like hearing.
Yeah. But that's the feeling we want to have. You're outside in your back patio, you and your buddies are having a beer. That's what we have. And we want people to tune in and give us advice on some topics that they want to talk about. I mean, we had a topic the other day about best cereals, top four cereals, and argued for 30 minutes about top five. You know, it's just, well, some things are just dumb things.
Which podcast is that? Because that's something that I would not only listen to, but I would be yelling at the radio.
Right.
Like, that's a real serious thing for me. Which, okay, what? Just tell me, okay. Don't spoil it, but which one did you have first?
I had Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
See, it's legit.
But we only have four options, Al. We only have four options, because this would have got really hairy.
Oh, okay.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch, Fruit Loops, what was the other one? We had two other ones.
Mini Wheats?
That Captain Crunch.
Yep.
And what's the little small guy with the mushrooms and
Lucky Charms.
Lucky Charms. We had Lucky Charms.
Lucky Those Charms is making some raggedy ass. They're making some raggedy ass cereal now. That's like it's basically Fruity Pebbles as Lucky Charms. What are y'all doing?
No, well, you can't do that.
You can't
Darren,
do that.
If Cinnamon Toast Crunch is yours, have you ever done shots of rum chata?
No, you know what we talked about on it. I've never. My two buddies have. Tyler and Ben, and they said it tastes exactly like Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
It's rum chata. When you got your next shot that you say, I want a rum chata, it is Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
So it's basically horchata. It's
exactly.
So it's horchata and rum.
I guess. Except, I don't know.
Yeah, horchata is a non-alcoholic version. It's like,
okay.
Yeah, and John's trying to get you to drink during a pandemic. I mean, who's not drinking during a pandemic?
Well, he'd be alone if he wasn't. Okay, he and Dell, our producer.
I want to ask you about this. So Aaron Taylor is a good friend of mine, and AT and I talked about his life after football and the massive issues he had with depression and alcoholism and drugs and loss of identity. And Marcus Coleman is a friend of the show. You might know Marcus from his days.
Marcus.
And we saw it happen right here first. Marcus just started coming into the show. We had him in as a football guest, and then he was just hanging out here all the time. He just said he was bored to death. And I've had these conversations with former players, and I didn't realize it was this big a deal for especially football players, I think, where your whole identity can be gone by age 32. Your playing days are over. Did you suffer from any of that, or did you do you know other players who really suffered with not being a football player anymore?
Yeah, we talk about that topic on our show as well, and it's hard. The transition is extremely hard because think about this. You've been doing this. In my case, I've been playing football since I was 7 years old. Never missed a season. That's what I did. Played football, basketball. You know, as a kid, you play all these sports, but football was predominantly my sport of choice. So I go from 7 years old up to 36 years old of playing football. And all my life, it's been a part of me. And I loved the sport more than anything. And it's not just the individual part of it. It's the locker room feel. And you can ask anyone. They'll tell you, not about the games, because you forget the games. Even the biggest moments, you forget. But you don't forget the camaraderie. You don't forget your friends in the locker room, the trash talking, going across ethnic lines. Like, you know, there's some things that we say in the locker room that we are family. It's just a part of it. And you spend more of your time in the locker room with your buddies, your teammates, than your own family for 6 months. So you have to understand it's built in you, and you're told for so long, you're so structured in high school. This is what time you have to work out. Here's practice. In college, it's even more so structured. You go to school, you watch film, you work out, you do all, you run together, you go to practice, you walk back in, you eat together. And then you get in the NFL, and it's your job. It's what you do. And it becomes a part of you. It's your identity and how people recognize you outside of the sport. And that is the hardest transition, because when it's over and they cut you or you get hurt and you can't play anymore, you're no longer a part of it. You're done. And your voice is not heard within the locker room. And I can tell you this, the NFL is not setting up programs to say, okay, hey, here's life after football. It's really plain and simple. You better have saved up enough money. You better have figured out, you know, that there is more than just football while you're playing football, more than just football, have something outside of that to transition yourself with. And I went through it, guys. I didn't go through it as much as a lot of teammates and friends that I played with, because I went from the NFL, and a day later, 2 days later after I retired, I was at ESPN. Kept me around the sport.
Right.
And I did that for 14 years. And then I transitioned. I had owned companies after that. But I've had so many friends, Tyler Klutz being one. The transition is almost impossible because he's been playing so long. And when his time came up, the Cowboys made the decision that they weren't bringing him back. And then they just left him out there. Now he had to figure out, what do I do next? And what do I do next can be depressing.
Absolutely. Darren Woodson, the Darren Woodson Show podcast with three, what'd you call yourselves?
Three idiots.
Three idiots. Three idiots.
Yeah. Three idiots.
Three idiots.
We call ourselves the three best friends. That's what we have, someone like three best friends. Well, that's what we've been calling ourselves. But it's, man, I'm telling you, best time. Tune in.
All right. We will. We appreciate it. Darren, thanks for spending time with us. We really appreciate it. Best of luck with your businesses and the show and everything else.
Thanks again, guys. Have a good one.
All right. Appreciate it. Darren Woodson right here on ESPN 97.5. I got to talk about my peeps over at the MMA law firm. This is hurricane season, people. Do you notice that there's already, tropical, and this is going to happen. And it's happening, and it happens every year. And you've got, you know what? When this happens, God forbid we get the flood, we get the hurricane hit here. But if it does, and where you're listening to us from here to Louisiana, we have got the law firm for you, because it's going to be a pain in the ass to get your money out of the insurance company, because that's just what insurance companies do. Their job is to give you as little as possible so that their stockholders and board members and everybody makes all that money. We got a free, no obligation consultation with the MMA law firm, largelossattorneys.com. You're dealing with enough. They front all expenses. If they win, their payment will come from the recovery, not out of your pocket. No settlement, no fees. Now, this happens with any kind of insurance claim that you have. If they're in bad faith, you know what? The MMA law firm is going to know that, going to get that, going to beat them, and they're going to fight back against these insurance companies that are trying to screw you. So if you're looking for a great way to get your money out of that insurance company, largelossattorneys.com. That's largelossattorneys.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.